Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and sitting next to me here is my son, Alan Salem. And between the two of us, we've probably got pretty close to 60 years of experience.
Yep.
And frankly, folks, I'm a lot smarter than he is, so
That's debatable.
We can get your car questions. And Alan actually specializes in diesels. And the Dodge, the Ford, the Chevy?
Yep, all of them.
Okay. I want to tell you a story real quick before we even start out. You know, folks, I work for lots of insurance companies. I work for lawyers and I work for law enforcement. And they usually my relationship is, would you look at this and tell us if the brakes work? Tell us if the steering works, that kind of stuff. Well, those of you with trucks, the diesel trucks that are newer than 2012?
11.
Okay. Those are going to be diesel trucks that take DEF. And so the DEF, diesel exhaust fluid,
yep,
it's very caustic. So what we're finding out is inadvertently and accidentally, people are putting DEF into their truck gas tank. And it has a separate tank altogether.
Yeah, but the fills are directly next to each other on the Ford and the Dodges. They're in the same door on the side, yeah.
So you can't put the diesel nozzle in the DEF.
Right.
But you can put the DEF in the diesel side.
Right.
So when that happens, you're faced with a huge bill.
Huge bill.
Huge.
Huge.
Okay. Now, what has to happen is the tank has to be dropped and we're going to clean it out.
Yep.
Then everything forward that's metal has to be replaced. All the lines to the first oil fuel filter, the high pressure pump.
No, hold on. Let me step back. As long as it's run.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
As long as you ran it. If you didn't start it and run it,
start it and run it. Yeah. if you can help it.
Yeah, if you remember soon enough. So at this point, we're going to change all the metal lines to the first number one filter. We're going to change the metal line to the high pressure pump. We're going to replace the high pressure pump, all the lines to the injectors and all the injectors. And then there's a metal line that goes from there back to the number two fuel filter, which we recycle that stuff. So this is an ugly repair. Here's the message I have for you. And oftentimes, your insurance company will pay for this because they pay for stupid. And it's just no different than you having an accident. Now, I'm not going to tell you what insurance company said that, but that really encompasses the relationship as long as you have full coverage. As long as you have full coverage. So guess what? We've been taken, not I haven't been, but customers have been taken to this particular dealer. And the bills have been, and I've seen them. I mean,
we've seen numerous ones.
17,400,
or more. Yeah,
it's obviously that's a tough pill to swallow. So, I decided on behalf of my clients to do a little estimating,
do a little research.
So I called more than a couple of dealerships, but I'm going to tell you I ended up at Sanderson Ford. And I talked to a guy there, and I said, you know, I think I put DEF in my truck, and, you know, can you give me the idea what the cost is? And he says, well, the kit, Ford makes a kit for the Fords,
yeah,
and it has everything you need.
Now, I will tell you this before you go on. What the numbers you talked about yesterday weren't exactly accurate. So,
okay.
Yeah, so we need
all right.
to.
So what's the kit?
The kit's $5,000.
Okay, 5,000.
Yeah.
All righty. So if the kit, when he said 3,500, that's probably their cost, or for whatever reason, I don't know.
I think he may have just misspoke.
Okay, so yep. It's 5,000 for the kit.
$49.95 is dealer list on the kit.
And what's the labor times?
I didn't get to labor time. Okay. I was just going off by what you said, 20 to 22 hours, which is probably a good number.
Okay. And so when you talk about this, we're talking about the kit plus the installation,
yeah,
and all the other stuff. So let's work off your money, $5,000. And we knew that get your calculator out,
okay,
and take. Let's go to 140 times 22 hours. So I'm going to take the highest labor rate I can find,
and $3,080.
Okay, so we're going to take your five plus your eight,
yeah,
and let's add another $300 for, you know, all the other shop supplies, environmental charges, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, new fuel, stuff
okay
like that.
All right.
And with tax, You know, okay. you're going to be, I got 93, 85 on okay. my calendar.
$8,000 cheaper. $8,000 yep. cheaper than many other the bills I've seen. So that's something that bothers the heck out of me, because it in our industry it's not uncommon for a few of us to, once we hear the insurance companies involved, the price changes.
Oh sure, I think what's happening is they're buying this kit. Or they're not buying this kit because they don't know about it, but they're buying this kit and then they're itemizing each individual. I think you're going to get a discount for buying everything.
Okay.
I think you'd agree. But yeah. If you were dishonest and you wanted to make more money, you itemize everything out at dealer list, and all of a sudden your parts go from $5,000 up to, you know, $9,500 okay. itemized out.
But if you just take the kit
exactly.
and you do your normal markup,
yep.
then you're going to be in the $5,000 range, somewhere around there.
Right.
So, folks, the message here is simple. No matter whether you're in the dealership arena, the independent shop arena, the chain arena, or the postman who works on cars on the side, you need to bid your work, especially if it's in the big numbers. So, and I say north of, you know, $1,200, $1,500, you need to bid it. Now, you're not going to be able to call around and have people bid it, because everybody wants the car in front of them.
Yeah.
Number one, we don't want to work off other people's diagnosis, so we want to check the ball joints ourselves. And most of the time, we do that for free. It depends on the operation, the checkout operation. Number two, your car's in front of us, so we have the VIN number, so we can accurately look up the ball joints or the struts or whatever it is. And then, typically, an easy estimate won't take much time, therefore, most of us won't charge you. But if it's a sophisticated one, then yeah, there's likely to be a small charge, and I would say between $25 and $50 on the outside, just to look at the estimate you have and give you an idea. So those are the kinds of things that we run into on a regular basis, unfortunately. All righty, we've got a caller, Gil. Who is it?
Say hello to Vicky.
Vicky, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning. Many years ago, I read something that it's bad to start your car and let it idle. And I like getting in a warm vehicle. So every morning I go and start my Jeep. I go out, feed the horses, feed the chickens, feed the ducks. And then when I'm dressed and then I shut the Jeep off after I'm done feeding. And then when I'm dressed and in the Jeep, it's so nice to get in a warm vehicle. Is it really bad to do that? It probably runs for, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes in the driveway.
Okay, what I want to ask you is it a Jeep with fuel injection, or is it carburetor, or do you know?
Fuel injection.
Okay. You got a comment on that?
I don't think so. I let mine run all the time.
Okay. There's lots of reasons in the older model cars that we didn't want that to happen. We couldn't depend on the choke to hold the idle up high. We couldn't depend the choke to ever open until we drove it, which would mean it's just the engine's being delivered a huge amount of fuel, and to the point where it's running out the tailpipe. But I don't think on fuel injection ones I'd worry about, because the computer controls the injectors and the spray. So in the morning, the spray may sound like this. Psst, psst, psst. After it warms up, it sounds like this. Psst, psst, psst. So there's a big difference. So frankly, if you get in and the heater's blowing really hot, you might have left it, if that's a 10-minute sit, you might have left it running a minute too long. And really, I don't care. So how many miles are on the Jeep?
259,000.
Okay, are you changing the oil pretty regularly?
Every 5,000 miles on the button with full synthetic.
Okay, well, I want you to think about changing that. A semi-synthetic, 5,000 would be appropriate. A full synthetic, I mean, you're north of 8,000 miles, as long as you check your oil on a regular basis. But here's why I ask you that. You were going to put a little bit of fuel in the oil, and as long as you're changing your oil on a regular basis based on the kind of oil you have, then I can't see any problem. And if it's warming up and you're getting in the car and the chickens and the horses are fed, what kind of a, you know, what, how can that be bad?
Oh, thank you.
All righty, Vicky.
Good luck. I'll change to a full synthetic. Thank you. Or, I mean, semi-synthetic.
Okay. Now, that's different. Regular oil.
Oh, okay.
Regular oil is 3 to 5,000. Semi-synthetic is from 5 to 7,500. And a full synthetic is north of 8,000. So those are the
parameters. I'll just continue with what I've done for 21 years.
That's a good idea with 220 some odd thousand miles. Do you know how far?
259,000.
Okay. Do you recognize how far that is in miles? I mean, let me explain. You've been around the world 10 times.
Yes, I have. My Jeep has.
No, yeah, we're not talking about you, Vicky. We're talking about the Jeep, okay?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear the other side of that, but nevertheless, ten times around the Earth. And think about how many shifts that is, how many startups, how many cool downs, how many what we call a heat cycles, how many times it's got to operating temperature and then cooled off, all that kind of stuff. But in Phoenix, it's quite different than Anchorage, Alaska.
You don't want to be there today.
Don't laugh at me, Vicky. That's a bad thing. All righty. Well, anyway, thank you, Vicky. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or a comment, or you and your husband or you and your wife are arguing about something car-related, Alan and I are really good at handling those marital conflicts.
Other people's.
That's exactly right. I was going to somehow dovetail that in, but I didn't know how to do it.
Other people's. I think Mom and Heather would probably disagree with settling our own. But other people's were really good, or we think we are.
Just keep digging that hole. Now that you've mentioned their names and stuff like that, see, on radio, we don't do that.
Right.
We just agree.
Okay.
That's all we do. And we don't come up with other people's. Oh, man. Well, this portion of Under the Hood, I got to tell you real quick, is brought to you by S&S Auto Service. They serve Peoria, Surprise, Goodyear, and everything on the west side. They have a very deep, comprehensive line of tires and many different brands of tires, which mean you can go in and say, give me good, better, best, and look at them. And when they do that, they're going to give you write your check now, and this is what it's going to cost you to mount and balance, tires, labor, FET, sales tax, everything. So they also do all kinds of other work, like oil changes. They'll bounce your tires. They'll do alignment, suspension work, and stuff like that. So on the west side, if you're looking at anything from a wheelbarrow tire to tractors, then S&S Tires is a good place to start. We'll be back. Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Mark Salem and Alan Salem here talking about cars, and you're welcome to join us. Dennis, I'm going to get to you in about 15 to 20 seconds. I want to tell you about Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. They're a Better Business Bureau A-plus shop. They've got great technicians. Nate, who owns and operates Strictly Diesel, is one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet, and his hands look like tennis rackets. He's a big boy. Anyway, they're diehard, Strictly Diesel is diehard service, repair, and parts, and they work on foreign and domestic light diesel trucks. They're located on South I-17 near Pinnacle Peak Road. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair, Monday through Friday, and they sell parts 24 hours a day on their website. So you can go there to get more information about diesel stuff, and that's Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. Dennis, good morning. How can we help you?
Good morning. My granddaughter has a 2011 Mazda 3, and she had a smelling coming from underneath the hood, and she drove it over for me to take a look at, and all indications were that the fan motor had seized up, the electric fan motor on the radiator.
Yeah.
So she had a place that she brought a service to. They took it over to them, and I went down with her when they, gave her the estimate, and they said, yes, the fan motor was bad. They had it in their hands with a little module that was on it, and the motor smelled burnt. They put a new one in. Then she took it off and rode it, and then pretty soon the same smell was back again. And they said, well, we don't know then what's wrong with it.
Okay.
And put her out. If you got any ideas on that?
Well, we're missing a lot of stuff. Did the fan motor have a frame around it? Like
I'm
a circle shroud?
I'm sorry. I don't know that. I just looked in it quickly and I could smell it, and it smelled like a motor burning.
All right, we're past the smell. Okay, we're past the smell, but did anybody in front of you hold on to the fan motor and spin the blades?
I spun it. It seemed stiff to me, but I didn't know what type of motor it was.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It felt stiff.
Okay, I understand, but that's part of the process is
yes.
You know, you spin the old one, and then you walk outside and spin the new one. So
yeah.
Asking a question, why did this happen, is easily answered by after you fix it. Most of us would have tested the electrical system, and we want the voltage in the electrical system not to exceed 13 volts because that's 100% uh-huh. charged battery. We also want to look at the diodes in the alternator, and we also want to look to make sure this fan, now this fan is going to be one of two circuits. It's going to be temperature related to the cooling system. She could have two fans. I don't know. Did you look? Did she only have one, or did she have two?
It appeared there was only one.
Okay. So it's going to be tied to the cooling system, and it's going to turn on probably about 220 or so, 230, and then cool back down to 195 or so. So the electrical system, a bad ground, dirty battery cables, an alternator with bad diodes or an alternator that's overcharging, all of those are possibilities. But if the shop doesn't want any part of this, then they really should give you your money back.
Let me ask you a question. I'm unclear on one thing. Is the second fan bad? Did it go bad as well?
It didn't appear that it was bad. I took that one, and it turned around the same way.
Okay.
And I didn't know. I figured an overvoltage on it or something from some sort of control process. But for $700...
Yeah, because I'm thinking if the second one's bad, then there's clearly something, obviously, either they got a bad part or there's something causing that. But if the second one's not bad, you're still smelling it. I'd certainly have them put that first one back in. I mean,
but he said there was some tension on the first one. But if I know where you're going with this, you're going with what happens if it's got a coolant leak and he's smelling the coolant leak? What happens if he's got some kind of a liquid on the exhaust system?
Right.
He smells that. So we're not sure that your smell is related to that fan. Now, I want to know if there's more than two fans. There could be one on the front of the radiator and one on the back of the radiator. That's possible.
Okay. Easy way to tell that is when you start it up first thing in the morning, it's cold. The fan should not be running. But if you turn on the AC, then the fan should,
It's got two, you're right.
If it's got two, then it should, one should stay stationary because it's cold. And then the other one should go to wide open throttle because when you turn the AC on, it wants to cool the condenser down.
It may not, depending on how it's wired. This is a Mazda 3, and we don't have it in front of us.
Yeah.
But there's a good chance the AC turns on that conditioning fan. But the other one is going to be temperature controlled. The real issue is if this one, if you still have the smell and this one spins freely, then I think they're unrelated. I think they're unrelated.
Okay.
So somebody just needs to go in, do you have a garage of your own?
Well, no, I don't. I mean, no, I don't. I've worked on vehicles for years, but I'm just doing her a favor to look at it. I know what a burn-up motor smells like. I know what the wine smells like, but if it's got another motor. But this place was specialized in electrical work.
Okay, well, I've heard that before, and that doesn't really make any difference to me. It doesn't make any difference to me. It doesn't make any difference to me. Everybody specializes in what's underneath the hood of the car they're looking at. So, the issue is you want to go off that you smelled that fan, the smell is related to the fan, and that's it for you. Unfortunately, I think you might be wrong. I think that the fan wasn't part of the problem, especially now that you smell it, the same smell again, and this fan is turning freely. So I think we need to track down the smells, the bottom line is. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And it really doesn't make any difference because the one fan wouldn't contaminate the other.
Right.
So if you had two fans, if one of them burned up, the chances of it making the other one stink are slim and none.
And just to be clear, too, here at the shop, we say that Mark specializes in BS. So just so you know.
Yeah? What are you talking about?
You said everyone specializes in something, and you specialize in BS.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I control your microphone. I just want you to know that. And it's the issue is we got the cart before the horse. Yeah, you're BS Junior. We got the cart before the horse. We got to find the source of the smell and go from there.
Yep.
The only thing that kind of saves this whole scenario is that he or somebody else had tension on the fan.
Yeah.
But I would have really loved him to say, well, he showed her how the fan hardly turns, and then I said to her, show me what you got, and she spins the fan, and he goes, woo!
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, you would have known for sure.
Yeah. Or if he had asked for his old parts, if she had asked for her
right.
old parts.
Right.
There's no core charge on something like that. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. You can always get a hold of me at mark@marksalem.com. I'm going to be calling two people who sent me an email, and they left their phone number, so right after the show I'm going to be doing that. But I'm also going to be at the Chandler Parade.
Chandler Festival of Lights Parade tonight.
Tonight, and it starts at Country Club, Arizona Avenue, south of Chandler Boulevard. And I'm
It goes from Fry to Arizona Avenue. I'm sorry. It goes from Fry to Chandler Boulevard on Arizona Avenue, northbound. It's a little different than last year.
And we're going to debut our brand new flag truck. It's a 10-wheeler, 1-ton, with big chrome stacks. And we're going to be pulling the Cub Scout or the Boy Scout trailer?
Cub Scout trailer, yeah.
Cub Scout trailer. And so we're going to have a lot of fun. But if you've never been to that Festival of the Lights, then it is something quite
parade,
exquisite.
Yeah.
Parade of Lights.
Parade of Lights, yeah.
And the trailer we're hauling weighs about 17,000 pounds or something like that.
Yeah, it's a big trailer.
We're going to tell them that anyway so we can they know why we got the big truck out for that thing. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Okay, welcome back, everybody. 602-508-0960. If you want to give us a call, 602-508-0960. Action Auto Repairs at I-17 in Deer Valley, the northwest corner. I've known Tom, the owner, since the early 80s. Tom opened up his shop in 1983. I liked him before, and I like him now. Tom's good at what he does. It's a family-owned operation. He's been around a long time serving North Phoenix and the Deer Valley Airport. He has ASE Master Certified Technicians, and he's got a BMW Master. So if you've ever thought about, gosh, I wish I could find an independent shop that specialized in BMWs, Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley. Let's go to the phones first. Eddie, you're up first. How can I help you?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, Mark, thanks for taking the call. I spoke to you last week on the 83 Chrysler, the regulator in the motor.
Yes.
I can get the motor from AutoZone or Rally's, but not the regulator. I can't get the regulator. Nowhere.
Okay. Who's going to fix this? Are you going to hire someone to fix it?
No, I'm doing it. I already have everything out.
Okay. All right, you're going to have to find the regulator, and many times you're only going to be able to find it from the dealer. You can buy a used one. You could go to a wrecking yard and identify the car and have them get you a used one out of the door. But do you know what's wrong with yours?
Not really.
Okay.
I didn't take the motor off yet. It could be the gear.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We need to verify what's the matter with it. So to go buy the regulator and the motor and everything else, that's not really a good idea. Why don't you take the regulator and the motor to a shop? Well, first of all, you can just hook up the motor to a 12-volt battery, and you should be able to see if the motor is going to take the regulator and scissor it. So that's all you have to do is just do that. And then if the motor does that, you need the regulator. But you can probably go to a wrecking yard and find a motor and a regulator. Obviously, you don't know how old it is, though. So that's the best I can do for you, buddy. I'm impressed that you got the motor and regulator out.
Yeah, I drove the rivets out. You think I should take the motor off the regulator and see if the gear is bad?
Well, you can. They probably make a kit, but you can do it either way. You can take the motor off the regulator. If you can buy a regulator, if you can buy it bare, then that's good. You can put your motor on there. But you probably, if you start cutting rivets on that, you're probably going to have to buy the motor and the regulator together, and that's no big deal. Okay?
You don't think I can take the motor off there and just put another motor on that one?
Well,
if the regulator is good?
I don't know, Eddie. You're going to have to do some searching. I don't know if you can do that. If there's a lot of motors that we can drill the rivets out or cut the welds off and get the motor off.
Yeah.
But some of them you can't. You have to find out what's available first, and then what you're going to do with what you've got. You got to test the motor first. If the motor whirs, then take the motor off and see if the gears are stripped. So the gears are either going to be stripped on the regulator or the motor. All right, Eddie, got to go. Thank you very much, though. Thank you. Bob, you're up next. How can I help you?
Well, I recently bought a Mercedes. It's a 2003 500 SL. And since it has an awful lot of sensors and messages of what could go wrong or what is going wrong or whatever, I'm wondering if you had a independent Mercedes shop that does good work and doesn't cost $160 an hour like the dealer does.
Well, the answer is yes. He's not on my best car repair shops list because he's too doggone busy, but he's somebody I refer to on a regular basis. The name of his shop is Goodies. And he's up in North Scottsdale near Frank Lloyd Wright. His name is Steve, and I can tell you that there's been numerous times that I've been in a bind and he's fixed my car over the phone. So, but I also have the ability to give him values and give him, you know, sensor readings and all that other kind of stuff. Now, he's busy, so you're going to need to make an appointment. But if my mother lived in North Scottsdale and she had a Mercedes-Benz, first of all, I would ask her when she hit her head last. And second of all, I'd send her to Goodies. Okay?
Yeah, I know it's a money pit, and I am in North Scottsdale.
So. Oh, you're home free. Now, when you get there, you're going to say, I have a 50% coupon in my car. I just can't find it right now for Mark Salem.
There you go.
And see what he says. All righty?
All right.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you very much. Glenn, you're up next. How can I help you?
1 minute.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Hopefully you have time for two questions.
We'll get the first one, and then we're going to take a break.
Sure. I have an 2010 Toyota Tundra that's having an intermittent TPMS indicator light on the dash.
Okay.
And it seems to have gone away, but it reared its head three times.
I worked on a Toyota the other day, and I looked in the owner's manual, which is something I never do and men don't do. It said to me that if when you turn on your key, the TPMS flashes for 60 seconds and then goes solid, it's a hardware problem, and it's not a it's not an air pressure problem. Have you ever heard of that before?
I haven't.
Okay. And I was surprised by that. In reality, I turned the key on, and at 59 seconds, as I counted, we ended up going, and then it went solid, which is exactly that. And I had just checked the tires, and I had put all of them up, including the spare. That's an important part. But it didn't turn off after 2 days of driving. So clearly we have a sensor. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to answer Glenn's question on the other side and take his second one. And then 602-508-0960, that's an open, we got four lines available, and you're welcome to jump in there. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Salem, and sitting next to me is Alan Salem, and we're going to take calls, and we're going to finish up with Glenn. But real quick, let me tell you about Auto Dynamics. Folks, when you run into an auto repair shop that's on its second or third generation, and the kids have 20 or 30 years of experience in the family business, that means something, and that's exactly what's going on with Auto Dynamics in Sun City. It's been family-owned and operated since 1982. Chuck started it. Derek, his son, is now running it. And frankly, Derek's a tad better than Chuck, just like my kids are a tad better than me. So at Auto Dynamics, their staff and technicians are not paid a commission or a percentage of the repair bill. Therefore, they don't sell unnecessary parts or repair. That's something Derek's trying, and we're all watching real carefully to see how he makes that work and how it can happen. So if you're in Sun City, Auto Dynamics, north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. Glenn, we're going to talk about your TPMS, and sitting next to me is the world-class guru, professor, godlike man of TPS. Go ahead, take it.
I like to call it the Messiah.
It's the Messiah. The Messiah of TPMS.
So there's a million things that can be wrong with TPMS. We see a ton of them. Obviously, the most common is actual pressure. Pressure needs to be what's on the door sticker. That's the first thing. The other thing is, you know, overinflation sometimes, underinflation sometimes, a percentage different of one tire from the other three. But my guess is because it's intermittent with yours and it's a 2010, those batteries and those sensors usually last about 7 years-ish, give or take. I would bet that if we put a scanner on one of those things, I bet you've got a low battery on one of those.
And what she's talking about, you can walk around the car and talk to the sensors in the tire. Another thing you want to do is whenever you have a TPMS code or a TPMS, you got to check all the tires. Because, for instance, Glenn, red, white, blue, and black. Let's pretend they're all different colors. Well, if you bring it into a shop and they rotate the tires, then all of a sudden the driver's left front is on the driver's rear, but the computer doesn't know that. So it's going to say that the left front tire is low on air, or the left rear tire, and it's going to be the wrong tire. So that's why we tell everybody, if you have a TPMS code, you got to check all four tires and the spare.
Yeah, some will automatically relearn, like my Dodge. Well, I rotate them and I don't have to reset them.
Okay.
They'll automatically reset. I want to say that Toyotas are actually, they reset themselves. I'm not 100% sure of that. You just bolt them on. It picks up there's a receiver at each corner. That receiver says, okay, I'm equating this serial number with the left front. Regardless, it shouldn't, someone who knows a good amount about TPMS, it shouldn't be hard to figure
right.
out, but I will tell you one other thing. Weather affects those things greatly. You start out in the morning and your TPMS light's on. By the time you drive 18 miles to work, they're hot enough to where they go off. Well, that's just the tire pressure right at the threshold, the low threshold. And as the tire heats up, it expands, gets higher pressure, and the light goes off.
So you can tell if there's a – in the spring and fall and winter transition is when that
always
happens.
When it goes from warm to cold, that's – yeah, 80% of the calls that we get are TPMS.
Okay, so when you do that, I want to know the diagnostic process costs – about between and between.
I think it's about, I don't know, $40 to $70.
Okay, and then if it's a TPMS, you're going to break the tire down, replace the TPMS inside the tire,
yeah.
Put it back together. Are you going to rebalance it, or just mark the tire on the wheel and put it back where you found it?
It just depends. I mean, usually we rebalance it.
Okay, and so that's the TPMS plus the take the tire off and put it in, and then rebalance.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Usually TPMS sensors, you can get some really good universal aftermarket ones. I think they're like $70, and then mountain balance is $25. So
you're at $100 plus diagnosis, and if you just walk around and one of them isn't talking to you, the diagnosis is $5.72.
And I'll tell you something else too. If you got into that threshold and they say one of your batteries is bad, and none of the other ones have been replaced, you'd be a lot better off doing them right now, because I'm gonna see you next week on the other. On the other three.
But he can do the next three next time he has tires. So
yeah,
he can
if he's getting close. Yeah,
if
sure,
you're getting close.
Sure.
All right, you had another question, Glenn.
Yeah, it was regarding maybe a couple months ago you mentioned to keep your four-wheel drive system, to get it warm, you drive it on the pavement. And it seemed to me I had a 98 Chevy that said don't drive in four-wheel drive on the pavement. Has that changed?
Well, you'll notice I said no, you cannot drive through the city streets and make right and left turns.
No, you said on the freeway.
Yeah, I'm straight ahead. And all my tires are aired up exactly the same, so I've got rotational stuff. So when I leave Payson, I can drive straight for a long time. And so as I'm going highway speeds and high, I'm warming up that front differential, I'm lubing everything in that thing, and we're home free. So straight ahead is the key, and I would certainly keep it under, you know, I don't know, 50 is a comfortable speed.
Yeah, 50, 60. I had a customer this week who was up at his cabin up in Sholo. The batteries died, and it was in four-wheel drive, and when he replaced the batteries, he couldn't get it out of four-wheel drive. And he drove it home all the way from there at 60 miles an hour, and the first thing I thought of was, oh boy, we're going to have a problem. Brought it in. We drained the fluid and put new fluid in it, and it was clean as day. In and out of four-wheel drive, no problem. Not something I recommend. I wouldn't drive it that far. But the point is that it can live.
Let me tell you a quick story before your mother tells you this quick story. We're up in Pine getting that old fire truck for Grandma.
Yeah.
And so I'm pulling it out with the four-wheel drive.
I know where this is going.
Okay. And so I couldn't get it out of four-wheel drive. So I'm driving around. I'm backing up. I'm turning left. I'm turning right. I'm pushing the button, doing everything. Your mother pulls out the owner's manual, and it says you have to be in neutral in order to shift it.
Oh, okay.
So I put it in neutral, and I pop into two-wheel drive. And she went, yep, 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 all the way home.
What were you in, drive or park?
No, I was in four-wheel low.
No, I know, but how were you trying to get it back into...
I just kept pushing the button. I never thought to put it in neutral. It was in drive the whole time. All righty. Thank you very much, Glenn. We're going to move on to Ken. Ken, you're up next. How can we help you? Hi, Ken.
You talking to me?
Yeah. Yeah, I am, Ken.
Oh. Oh, actually, I'm Mark, but that's okay.
Okay.
Hey, question I got for you is regarding the TPMS, I have an older Shelby Mustang that has it on bands.
Yeah.
And then later on, they went to a valve stem type deal and all that. I understand there's a frequency range difference. But I got Dorman. Does Dorman make one that's universal, or who's the best universal around that you found?
Let me change his question. What do you do between a band and an update where it's just a valve stem? What do you do?
First of all, bands are such a pain in the butt, and especially if you have to replace them, because the bands are like $50 for four of them. The ones we're using right now, they're purple. What I like about them is they encompass both the 315 and the 433 frequency. So I can do them to any vehicle. And the only two part numbers there are is steel and rubber, the valve stems.
Right.
So,
and what's the brand on those again?
You would ask me that.
It's easy. Give me your email address, and then you
email me, and I can send you a picture of them. They're purple. I bet you if you did purple TPMS sensors, but, you can email me, Alan, A-L-A-N, at SalemBoysAuto.com, and I can get back to you on that, or I might be able to find it here real quick.
Okay.
So I could just walk down to my office downstairs. But
A-L-A-N at SalemBoysAuto.com.
Okay.
And don't send him anything that his mother's going to be embarrassed about because she checks his email, okay?
Okay, so here's the next thing. I have a 2010 Infiniti. And, you know, it's really a great car. It's got a few quirks, like the tranny isn't the smoothest thing in the world, and it goes through brakes like dessert. But the biggest thing is I'm wanting to switch over to an independent. And, like, my Toyota's not putting a shameless plug. Roger over at Toyo West has treated me great for years on Toyotas. But he doesn't do the Nissan Infiniti routine.
Okay.
So do you guys have an Infiniti guy you like, an independent?
On the west side?
East side.
Oh, east side.
I'll travel for the best guy. I don't care.
All right. Well, tell me, where do you work and where do you live? Give me cross streets.
I'm northeast Scottsdale, almost by Carefree Cave Creek.
I do Blackwell at 40th Street and Greenway. He just got out of jail not too long ago. He's really good at what he does. And he'll tell you if he's not the best guy to diagnose or do this repair. And the best part of Tom is his wife, Polly. And if you can't get through to Tom, then just ask for Polly, and she's a decision maker.
Okay. And then the last question would be about alignment. I don't know what it is. I just cannot find anyone that can come out with a steering wheel centered that doesn't pull.
Well, wait a minute.
I don't know what it is.
Okay, wait a minute. Is it pulling on a city street or on a highway?
Both, either.
Okay.
Mostly highway.
All right.
I'm a gearhead. I built my first motor when I was 16, so I got the drill.
Okay. Well, camber pulls to which part, which number? I mean, that's kind of where you're at. Camber pulls to the positive number. Caster pulls to the negative number. So even though you put it within the little boxes on your screen, if it's got more positive camber on the right than it does on the left, it's going to pull right.
Mm.
So gray-haired guys know this, and gray-haired guys know how to get rid of it. But first you drive it in, and you show them. And then you have to decide if you're on highway or city streets, because on highway we set you flat, and on city streets we drift you a little left because the roads are crowned.
Right.
So you have to decide that. But I don't know. If Blackwell can't do it, you'll have to come to Tempe. We'll do it for you. Or you can go to – is Mike Fenno still – is he – yeah, he's still there. He's up at the 202 and the 101. He taught me everything I know about alignments, and his name – his shop is – come on.
I don't know.
Hang on. I look right here. Hold on a minute. Give me just a second.
By the way, that sensor, it's called a MAX sensor, M-A-X. It's the MAX TPMS total sensor.
Okay.
And you can't just buy them and put them in. You have to actually program them. So you'll need to have somebody, find somebody who has the programmer, because you can't just buy them off the shelf. You got to have them programmed.
Okay. And Fenno's is Schumann's Auto Clinic. Schumann's, S-H-U-M-A-N-S. So you got Blackwell to the north, Schumann in the middle at the 101 and the 202, and then you got Salem South. But all three of us are good old fashioned alignment guys. Okay.
Great.
Okay.
You know, it just shouldn't be that hard to make it happen, but it does for
okay.
some reason. It, so I do appreciate
it. It isn't hard because here's the problem. You put the car in the alignment. You got some three-whiskered kid over here that just started alignments. He's got a window that's 3 inches, and it's green. And so all he does is put all the numbers in the green window. He gives you the car back. He doesn't know crap from Shinola, and he gives you the car back and says, oh, it's aligned perfectly. No, it ain't. You got to understand the geometry of the alignment. Boy, have you got my panties warmed up. You got to understand the geometry. You got to know what you're talking about. And putting it in the green doesn't mean nothing. Sometimes we're on the left side of the green on this setting and on the right side of the green on this setting, and the car goes straight.
Yeah.
We got to move on. What's Gil?
Gil.
Who, we
Carlo.
Got Carlo. I'm sorry. How can I help you, buddy?
Well, I had a 2500 Dodge. I had a problem with the electrical where the ABS was coming on, low battery, and found out what it was. It was a wire that was touching the air condition. Fixed it, solved the problem. But my wife said I listened to you too much. Because I winded up going home. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, here's the deal, Carlo. You tell your wife Mark knows the best divorce lawyers in this town. All right? And we'll hire the best one before she can get the best one. So you just tell her she doesn't mess with guys, garages, and cars. She doesn't mess with you, and she doesn't mess with me. Now, Carlo sounds like an Italian name. Am I right?
I wanted to hear the rest of his story. He said he went home. After he got it fixed, he went home. I want to hear the rest of the story.
Okay, you went home, and what happened?
Well, I went back to the dealer because I bought the little harness just to fix it, and I winded up coming home with a brand-new truck that you'll like.
Oh, my God.
that
I wasn't expecting.
Like you.
Holy mackerel.
I bought the 3500. I never owned a diesel in my life, and I took my first road trip with it last week, and I'm just amazed with this.
What interior did you get?
I have the Longhorn edition.
Yep. Oh, God. I'm going to tell you something. That makes the Ford King Ranch look like a VW. Oh, my. And you're telling me she doesn't like that truck?
Oh, no. She loves it.
Oh.
I mean, she thought it was going to be too loud because she hears these obnoxious diesels.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about those.
Yeah. I want to tell you, Carlo, you don't need to come to our shop. I'll tell you that. The other day, I was coming into the ranch up in the Star Valley, and this guy walks out and waves me down. And I said, hey, you know, how can I help you? And he goes, do you know that I can hear you coming and going? And I says, you know, I'm sitting at 1,100 RPM as I go through the neighborhood. And he says, it's not loud. It's just got a rumble.
It's one of the reasons why I drive my Ford is because I wake up all the neighbors every single time when I leave on my Dodge, and they all complain about it in a nice way.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You're up what time to wake up your neighbors when you show up to work at 10?
Yeah. No, when I leave at 9:15, you know.
Hey, Carlo, you tell your wife it had nothing to do with Mark Salem. The fact that you picked a Dodge, you got the 3500, and you got the Longhorn, that's
Laramie
the best Longhorn. Of the best. And tell her that's the Mercedes of diesel trucks.
And that's what you drive.
And that's what I drive.
All right. Quick question.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Hold on. We got 10 seconds. We got to be out in 10
stay
seconds.
Stay there. Or stay right there, Carlo. Stay right there. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. When we get back, Carlo's first, and we'll be back right after this. Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and Alan Salem and I are at your service, 602-508-0960, and to do exactly what we said, we're going to go back to Carlo. Carlo, has your wife made up with me yet?
She just texted me, and she was listening. She won't get divorced because she said it's too expensive.
Yeah, and then she's going to get half the truck, but of course the maintenance bills are going to be nothing for the first 250,000 miles, so she'll save money there.
The quick question I have is, when you put the tow haul mode on, and the engine brake?
It's the, yeah, yep.
It has a thing on there for auto. Is that something like just leave it on auto, or just use it when I'm towing only?
Which one is auto? The engine brake or the tow haul?
The tow haul.
Okay.
It's on auto?
It has a thing on it. You can put it on. You can have it on all the time. You can have it on auto or just turn it off.
I have no idea. I've not. What year is that thing? It must be an 18. 19?
Yeah, it's brand new, an 18.
Okay.
I've not seen that.
Let me tell you how I do it. When I'm hauling something or when I'm going up hills or down hills, the tow haul raises transmission pressure and delays your shift, gives you a little bit of power, okay? So that's good going up and down hills. If you're hauling a trailer and you're going downhill and you're in tow haul mode and you got your exhaust brake on, when that thing comes on, it'll about throw you through the windshield and you haven't even touched the brake pedal. I'm exaggerating,
yeah,
of course.
I found out I was going down one hill and it came on and I'm like, okay, why is that on?
Yeah.
But I guess it's a good thing to have on. And going through the mountains, I'm like very amazed of the technology with that. It's unbelievable.
Well, let me tell you something. When we put 6-inch exhaust on that thing and you go down the hill, it sounds like a big truck.
No, stop it. No.
And then everybody's looking around for the semi, and here you come down the hill. And then if you got air horns, you give them a couple of toots.
You know they actually, you know how they accomplish that, don't you? You know that's actually not an exhaust brake.
Good.
Oh, it's the turbocharger. And what they do is they close the vanes on the turbocharger, so it kind of just it won't allow any air to go through.
And it plugs your exhaust. Basically, it restricts your exhaust.
Yeah, it does. But it's
they
go
with a turbo.
They call it an engine brake. But yeah, okay.
And here's something too, Carlo. You got to use that. Because if you don't use it, those vanes will hang up, get dirty. And so you need to operate those vanes. So wide open throttle, when your wife's not in the car and you're racing a Chevy or a Ford, that's okay. But on the downside, we need to close those. So when you're going downhill and you're driving on the freeway, go ahead and use the exhaust brake on the downhill side. So we clean them on the old guys that never use them. So we want you to avoid that so that you can go 200,000 miles on your brand new Dodge Ram 3500
macho piece of machinery.
Macho piece of equipment.
I already bought new wheels for it, and she's already mad.
Oh, well, you know
that's
what?
That's just the beginning, buddy.
Let me tell you something. This kid next to me has this performance division. He works on diesels. He hands the gray-haired guys the menu, okay? Air horns, tires and wheels, level the front end, fancy this, fancy that. But the air horns and tires and wheels are the two things he puts on the most, yes?
Yeah.
And the air horns are off of a train, and the train has 110 pounds of air to them. These have a compressor with 200 pounds of air to them. And they're just nice when you're out with your wife and she's a little tipsy and she's about ready to fall asleep and her head hits the passenger window, you just go toot and she'll come alive like you've never seen. So anyway, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Thank you and enjoy the holidays that are coming up.
Thank you. Same to you, Carlo. Thank you. Joe, you're up next. How can we help you?
Yeah, hi, Mark.
Hi.
Good to hear you again here. Good to talk to you.
Thank
you.
Listen,
I've called before about my 2000 Ford E150 conversion van. I bought it new. It had 12 miles on it. So basically, it's 19 years old.
Okay.
And it's just chock full of original equipment still, believe it or not. And it's got 338,000 miles on it. So here's my question for today.
Okay.
I've got my dashboard lights went out.
Okay.
Every bulb in that thing is the original. I've never had any replaced. I know, I've been told, and I know it's true from experience, that when I go to an auto electrical, it could run into an awful lot of labor time tracking down the problem. I'm in the West Valley too. I'm Joe from Buckeye.
Okay.
That's what you usually call. And anyway, would it make sense to just have somebody replace everything electrical, as far as lighting?
No. First of all, do this tonight.
Uh-huh.
Go out, start the thing up, turn on the headlights. Okay? You with me?
I've done all
that. No. You haven't done what I'm going to ask you to do.
Okay, go for it.
I want you to walk around the van and see if the taillights are on.
Okay.
The taillights and the dash lights are typically tech. And first of all, there's no way that all the bulbs are going to blow at one time. So it's either going to be the rheostat or it's going to be the fuse. So there's no way all the bulbs blow at one time. So the rheostat's on the headlight switch. Could be that. It's a heck of a lot cheaper. But you need to have it diagnosed, because we can't just pull the dash and put a new printed circuit, put all new light bulbs in it. If we put it back in and the lights don't light, then you pay for the repair because it was your diagnosis. So,
finish your thought on the taillight.
Okay, and the taillights, what's happened in the past is when the dash lights go out, we were supposed to know that that was on the taillight fuse. So we knew at night that we didn't have taillights. Of course, only one person in all of Phoenix knows that. That's me. And, well, Alan, I told him when he was a little boy. but that's what I want you to do. Do you got taillights? Yes or no? And then if you want to, go grab a hold of that headlight switch, push it up to 12 o'clock, rotate it, down to 6 o'clock, rotate it, kind of manhandle a little bit. And if you get any kind of flash on the dash lights, then that headlight switch is your problem. But I promise you, there's no way you lost all your light bulbs at the same time.
So. Well, no, and I understand. I know that. Okay. What I'm saying would it make sense, rather than troubleshooting the whole thing, just replace the
printed circuit.
I call it the cluster.
Cluster. If you replace the cluster and the fuse is bad, it's still not going to work.
Yeah, just check the fuse. If the taillights are off and you don't have any taillights, then get your owner's manual out and find the fuse for the taillights, and when you replace it, then it's going to fix the dash lights.
Oh, I actually did that.
Well, how did you check the fuse? How did you check it?
I went and got the owner's manual, found fuse number 5, and I just pulled it out to see if it was a good fuse. I put another fuse in. I bought another one.
Okay.
And it didn't. It didn't change.
Okay, well, we still need to check all the fuses. You need a 12-volt test light, which is a nice pick with a light and a ground strap. So you turn the key on, start the motor up, turn every accessory on that you've got, get underneath that fuse panel, and just start dancing that ice pick across the fuse.
Okay, well, I used to get underneath a lot of stuff, but I'm 74 and my body is 84.
Well, that's why you get your 42-year-old wife out there.
You've got to give me one of them.
I can't help you there, buddy. I don't need another wife mad at me today. You can hire somebody. Just say, hey, dance your 12-volt test light across my fuse panel. And really and truly, the young bucks can do that in no time at all. Another thing you can do is that headlight switch could easily be this problem. Now, it could be the connection. One other thing. I want you to get in the truck and get it to, at nighttime, the taillights are on and the dash lights aren't. I want you to take your fist. I don't want you to crack the plastic on the dash, but I want you to hit from left to right or right to left. Watch the dash lights. If they flash on and off, then you have a bad connection where the bulkhead connector plugs into the printed circuit in the dash. Most of us gray-haired guys know where that's at. So you unplug it, you dust it off, you put a little dielectric on it, you wiggle it back on, boop, boop, we're done. But you're going to pay for that experience, too. So if you're in Buckeye, yes?
Well, I'm actually just watched a surprise. Buckeye annexed 104 miles. So I'm northwest of Surprise.
All right. I would probably take it over to Larry Harker's Auto over there at 38th Avenue and Indian School, because he's a gray-haired guy, and I think he would be your best shot.
Okay. Larry, what again?
Harker's. H-A-R-K-E-R-S. Harker's, 38th Avenue and Indian School. All righty. Hey, Gil, do we have any callers?
Nope, lines are open.
Okay, lines are open. Gil says 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Is there anything devious that you've done or any mistakes you've made on a car that you want to confess right now? Just pretend we're at the Catholic Church and we're at the confessional.
Well, that's a very broad statement.
All right, well, let me ask
you a very broad question.
Why your ankle is hurting so bad you're walking around half crying?
Oh, that's nothing.
Okay, go ahead and tell me the story.
2 minutes.
We got 2 minutes.
Because I'm not 19 and 160 pounds anymore, that's why. And I have an 11-year-old son that likes to torment me and run from me.
Yeah, and go ahead. So his name is Mark Salem, by the way.
Yeah.
And he's tormenting you, and you're chasing him? Is that what it is?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, and I'm not in the grand poobah of shape. Not a picture of...
You're not one of those guys that would be on those health additives or those health supplements?
No.
Okay, so you're chasing him where?
This morning at the house.
At the house. And obviously you didn't catch him. Did he kick you in the ankle?
No.
What happened?
He does that stupid thing that you see in the cartoons where you run to one side of the table and they run around the other side, you know, and I'm chasing them around and I don't even know what happened. Something happened and everything got knocked over. I started crying and sent him to his room. And
1 minute.
So, Mark Salem, your son, who's got the best name in the world, he probably did a duck bob and weave. He faked left and went right, and you fell for it.
And he's in a little bit better shape than I am.
Did he laugh at you when you're laying on the ground crying like a little?
He did. They all did.
Your wife too?
Yeah, and the other two.
And the other? Did you cry like a little bitch?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Well, I'm real proud of you.
Yeah,
I'm glad you're my son. I'm glad that you can admit when you make a mistake.
Yeah, he's going to get him when I get home, though.
If you can catch him.
Yeah. Catch him when he's not paying attention.
Yeah. Well, you'll get him tonight. Are you riding on the trailer or the float with the Boy Scouts tonight?
No, I'll be in the truck.
You are?
Yeah.
How come you didn't drive the truck?
Because
why?
It's because. I don't know why.
Folks, he calls me and he says, I need you down here to drive the big truck in the parade. It's going to pull the Boy Scouts. He says, why can't you drive it? And he goes, I don't want to drive it. Why can't you drive it? Don't tell me why can't you drive it. And he goes, Dad, I'm just too embarrassed to drive that truck.
That's not 100% true. I'm going to have a lot of things on my plate with the trailer and the little Scouts. And
that's the first time I've heard those excuses. Stop. Yeah, that's the first time I've heard. And you didn't do it up in Payson.
Just because I have my window up doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, the windows are tinted black. Hey, folks, we're up in Payson, and we got two trucks up there. We got the big flag truck and the little flag truck. So we get up there. He brings the big truck with his kids, and I said, okay, you're at the front of the parade. He says, no way. I'm not driving the truck in the front of the parade. And I says, why not? He goes, I'm just too embarrassed. So I said, okay, you take the small truck at the back of the parade. I'll take the big truck at the front of the parade. The parade's about a mile long. Alan is 4 miles behind the parade. So he just doesn't like the notoriety. Are you worried about the
people throwing stuff at you? I don't know. It's just a spectacle. I don't know. The thing is just, I don't want to say obnoxious. It's just like in your face.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. I love it. Don't get me wrong. But
okay. All right. Gil, get ready to take this away. But I want to ask you something. So you're just a little embarrassed to drive with all those people looking at you, but you didn't have any problem pulling your pants down when you were in high school in the back window of your truck. I'll leave it at that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Back to you, Gil.
Hello.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 22 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. If you'd like to comment about anything we've said, if you have criticisms, give them to Gil, and he'll pass them on to us. Otherwise, you're never going to see the light of day on this show. Anyway, Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing in Mesa has been around there since 1970 and actually comes from the marriage of two families, Vivian and Thompson. They both have been in this valley since early 60s. So it's a company that's got a tremendous history, and you don't find people that have been in business 60 years that don't treat people good. So if you're in Mesa, it's the only shop in Mesa Mark Salem recommends. They have ASE-certified technicians. Brian and Thelma are just the salt of the earth. They're the best people that you could have. They're exactly the kind of neighbors you wish you had. And Brian and Thelma are both the kind of people you hope your son brings home Thelma and your daughter brings home Brian. Had to make that clear.
All right.
And so anyway, that's the kind of people they are. All righty, let's go back to the phones. Mike, you're up first. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, my wife's got a 2006 Jeep Liberty with a 3.7 liter. What can I do to get some better miles out of this thing? She's getting 16, 18 miles a gallon.
Well, who's driving it?
Driver. Well, she is. She's got the lead foot.
Is she around us? Is she listening to this call?
No. I'm at a baseball game.
Hey, I'm telling you what. I don't need another wife on my back. I can guarantee you 100% that I can tell you how to make that car get better fuel economy.
Okay.
First of all, we're going to represent it as a raw egg, but I strongly suggest that you hard boil it. You just tape with duct tape the egg on the throttle pedal and dare her to drive it for a couple of days and not break the egg, but don't tell her it's hard boiled. Tell her it's a raw egg. And I'll tell you, I mean, there's a lot of ways that you can get somebody to drive better. There's all kind. We could hook a horn up that when she's past a quarter throttle, it'd blow the horn, and that would embarrass her. We can turn the seat heater on after a quarter throttle on high. There's a lot we can do, but it has everything to do with her right foot. And you know what?
All right.
Chances of you and I fixing that are slim and none. So,
and there's nothing really performance-wise.
Like an intake or No.
All you're going to do is give her more power, so she's going to be deeper in the throttle because she likes to go fast.
I tell people that ask me that, you know, intake and stuff like that. I just tell people save the money for the gas. I mean, they work in conjunction with other stuff, like we'll use them when we install superchargers or, you know, stuff like that. But and they're kind of noisy.
Town cars.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. You're pretending that anybody comes to you and asks about fuel economy?
Yeah, I get people all the time that ask me about fuel economy. If they have a gas motor, it's a lot more difficult. But if they have a diesel, well, then no issue. We already had this conversation last week.
No, wait a minute. So you're telling them you're going to get better fuel economy
on what?
After you put a blower on their car, or you trick out their diesel?
I basically tell them your SOL if you have a gas motor.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have anything for that. Air up the tires to max. Have a nice day.
Use the right oil and air up the tires to max, and you'll give her the best. But the egg works pretty good if you can get her to do that. All righty.
Okay. Sounds good, Mark. All right. Appreciate it. Thanks.
You betcha. Charlie, you're up next. How can I help you?
Well, Charlie had to drop Mark, so we have Lenny in his place.
Okay, Lenny. Good morning. Thanks for calling. How can I help you?
All right, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I've got a 2002 Buick LeSabre, 16 years old. It's got 61,000 miles on it. Well, that's not my question. My question involves regarding the electrical system on the car. I understand it's a 12-volt system. Is that correct on a car? 12-volt?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. I run my engine there, and I look at the driver information center, and where it says the battery normal, it vacillates between 14.8, 14.9, and 15.
And that's the fuel economy, the average fuel economy?
No, the voltage.
Voltage.
Okay. The voltage, right.
All right.
It's a normal battery, 14.8, 14.9, 15, vacillates around.
Is that high
for a 12-volt system?
Well, let me explain. Today we know, we didn't know this in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s, but today we know that a battery is this way. 12 volts, it's less than 10% at its full capacity. It'll still work. 12.1 is 10%, and 13 is fully charged. But you're talking about readings over 14, and I would be worried about that. So I think what you should do is not have the three-whiskered kid at the auto parts store check it. We need to check the diodes. We need to check the amp draw. We need to check the voltage. And we know how to do that. And he can't because he doesn't have the equipment. My industry has. You might spend $25 to have somebody do an examination of your electrical system. And it's always possible that we've got some problem in your driver's information center. But we're going to go, all of our testing is at the battery. So really and truly, that's what you need. But I agree with you. This is an area of concern. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever smelled rotten eggs?
No.
Okay. That's good because
I have, but not in my car.
Oh, God. This is the kind of audience I like.
Yeah.
And your wife was with you during that period of time in the car?
No, because I'm single.
Oh, okay. Well, you can't have a wife and a girlfriend, so I'll leave that alone. But what part of town are you in?
Central Phoenix.
Okay, I'd go to 25th Street Auto.
Central and Glendale area.
Okay. Well, you can go to Dave Martin at Martin's Auto Service, or you can go to, and that's at Indian School and 16th Street. You can go to 25th Street Automotive, and that's 25th Street and Indian School. They're right down the street from one another, and either one of those old gray-haired guys will have no problem telling you if this is something to worry about or not, because that's the question.
1 minute.
Give me those names again, please.
Okay. Martin's Auto Repair, Martin. And then 25th Street Auto.
Okay.
And it's Bill, Martin is Dave. Yep. Dave. And his daddy started the place. And the 25th Street Auto, okay. You're going to talk to Charlie, or Billy. Billy. Yeah, okay. Billy is at 25th Street Auto. So those guys can help you out.
Well, the battery's only 2 years old. And by the way, I'm pretty close to her to this place on Glendale at 12th Street there.
Oh, Kelly Clark. Yeah,
yeah,
you can
Kelly
go there.
Clark.
Sure, you can go there. Okay. Sure, you can go there. And Kelly Clark's been around 50 years. So he's...
I'm worried about expensive costs for a long diagnosis to get there.
All right. All right, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And I'm going to give it to you one more time because we have all five lines open, 602-508-0960. Still. Minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and let me tell you about Kurtz Automotive at I-17 in Bell. Kurtz has just pulled magic on some of the cars that I've sent to him, and the car owner typically starts with, I've had it everywhere in town and nobody can fix it. Kurt's a master, Jeff's a master, Eric's a master, and all you have to do is wave that proverbial red cape in front of them and tell them nobody can fix this, and they'll prove you wrong. So if you live anywhere near Bell and I-17, gas, diesel, and they do lawn equipment. They do weed eaters and lawn mowers and riding lawn mowers. They do all of that, as well as domestic and import, both gas and diesel. So Kurt's Auto Repair, I-17 and Bell Road in Phoenix, and Joe? Good morning. How can we help you?
How you doing, Mark? You
good.
And I met several times. I have three cars that I'm considering for turbochargers on.
Okay.
And I want to talk to you about it. My wife is the best I could ever have because we're buying her a new car, and she says I get to play with the last car that she has, which is the 2012 Camaro.
Okay.
So I'm thinking about double turbo on it. What kind of problems am I going to run into it and get the tune? What do you think?
Well, usually when you well, first of all, let me tell you that redoing an older model with the turbo is not nearly as good as buying a new car with the turbo, because you don't have to worry about programming, and we can still sometimes enhance the software on a car with already a turbo. But to answer your question, typically when you buy a turbo and the kit to install on a car, it comes with software. Most of the time.
Yeah.
Now, there are guys out there that will make us software to some extent, but that's going to be give and take. So, hey, we're running a little high in the temperature. Okay, here's some new software. Hey, we got a hesitation on cold. Okay, here's some new software. So there's going to be some issues.
What year is this Camaro?
Well, it's a 2012.
Okay.
Got the LS3 in it.
Okay.
Yep.
And you want
to... That's the first car.
What kit are you looking at?
Well, I haven't even looked at the kits. I'm just looking to see what kind of problems I'm going to have if I get the tune.
What kind of power are you trying to make?
Well, I don't know. It's a play car now because I'm buying a new car.
Okay.
I get to play with the old one. So.
Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, depending on what kind of we have an 11 Camaro that has a supercharger on it. I mean, that's I don't know, like how big you're talking about going. I mean, that's 150 additional horsepower, and it's super fun to drive. When you start getting into twin turbo kits, we also have a car with twin turbo kit on it. And that, but you're talking about big horsepower at that point. I mean, you're talking about head work and cam work, and you have to have someone who knows what they're doing to tune that, because a lot of the twin turbo kits don't come with software. I mean, we have people like that, but I mean, what kind of money are you looking to spend?
I don't know, $5,000-$6,000.
Oh, okay. You won't get a twin turbo kit for $5,000-$6,000. Not even close. I mean, you're talking, you're probably $10,000-$15,000.
But he's better off with a blower on the Camaro.
Yeah.
Same thing. We still pressurize the cylinders, but you're better off with a blower than a turbo on the Camaro.
Yes.
Now, we have a 10 or 11 Camaro that we put a blower on.
Yeah.
Actually, we bought a bunch of the new Camaros and put blowers on them. This is a romping, stomping Camaro. I mean, this thing is fast, and it'll burn the back tires off from here to Wilcox, Arizona. But it's not anything you want your kids to drive. And if you want to drive one, you can drive ours with Alan sitting next to you. So, you know,
what I would do. That's a much more complete kit. You drop it on the stock engine. You're making 100 and a half horsepower and all the tunings with it. That's really the way to go.
And so if you wanted to do the Camaro, then that's what I do. And we've done quite a few of those. The twin turbos on is 2006 Corvette with an LS6 motor. LS7 motor. Yeah. So that's the twin turbo, and that one is...
That's a much more extensive.
You're driving an F-16 on that. So,
that's an animal.
Yeah. All righty. Okay.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Okay, good luck to you. Thanks, Joe. Steve, you're up next. Steve, good morning. How can we help you?
Yeah, good morning. Got another fuel mileage question. I'm currently driving with two eggs on my accelerator. I've got a 2017 Nissan Versa. I'm getting 43.5 miles a gallon.
Nice.
For safety reasons, I wear a blue wig and I drive with the left blinker on all the time.
Yeah, there's...
And, just curious, when I ride the defroster on the front window, does that activate the condenser, or is that using the air conditioner, the compressor, air conditioner compressor?
Wait, when you activate the what?
Just the defroster that goes on the front window that blows out the vents.
Oh.
Or is that just kind of like when you put the hot cold on hot, it uses the engine oil, or is it in fact using the compressor?
No. It's when you go into the defrost mode, we are going to turn the air conditioning compressor off. We're going to turn the evaporator core underneath the glove box cold, and that's going to suck the fog off your windshield. Suck it right off as fast as you can see it. You can see the fog just clear. So if your air conditioning doesn't work, and then you can blow all the hot air you want on that inside of that windshield, and it's going to take between here and Wilcox, Arizona, to get that thing clean. So the answer to your question is a blunt yes. We turn the air conditioning on when you go to defrost.
Okay, so that'll cut into my gas mileage, so I won't do that then.
Yeah, or disconnect the compressor and see how that works for you. But I think you'll agree with me. There are times you get in, and it's foggy. When you turn on defrost, you can see the fog go away. And I'll give you another example. When you put a cold glass of soda pop on your kitchen table when we're in the cold time, you know all the moisture on the outside of the glass?
Right.
That's what we're doing with the air conditioning evaporator. We're turning it ice cold, and it sucks all the moisture right to it. So anyway, got to run, but thank you very much, Dan. You stay right there because you're next, 602-508-0960, but Dan's first. We'll be right back. Well, 44 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, let me take care of some business, and then we're going to go to Dan and Don. Dan first. Automatic Transmission Exchange, Phil and his guys have been around since 1968. They're on 40th Street in Washington on the north side of the road. Anybody who's gone up and down Washington to work or Jefferson, you more than likely have passed by that place 100 times. But he's really good because he started with the basic transmission and his skills have translated fine to the electric. And the old transmissions, we did thing with manual valves and vacuum and pressure. With the new transmissions, we got solenoids and electrical stuff, and the computer opens and closes and gives you first and second and third and fourth and overdrive and lockup. So he knows all that. So the only place in Phoenix, only transmission shop in Phoenix that I can recommend to you is Automatic Transmission Exchange. It's called ATE, 40th Street in Washington. Dan, you're up. How can we help you?
77 Power Wagon. The other day, started it up, made a walk around, and the reverse lights are staying on.
Okay. Automatic or standard?
Automatic.
Okay. It just depends on where the park neutral switch is at. It could be at the bottom of the steering column. That could trigger the reverse lights. It could be part of the ignition. It's not the switch, which is up higher with the key. It's the ignition module or the switch down below. Actually, one of them is called the steering lock. That's up high where the key is at. And the ignition switch is typically on the bottom of the steering column on the top. And it has this little tang that sits inside, and as you move the shifter, it's going to be one of those two things. Now, if depending on your Power Wagon, it could have a switch on the transmission that turns on the reverse lights, but I think I'm wrong on that guess. But do you have a wiring diagram of that?
No, I'm going to Harker's Tuesday.
Okay. Well, one of the things, Bob will have no problem with that. One of the things you can do is you can get on the internet, 77 Power Wagon, a reverse light switch, and it'll tell you where it's at. But I'm not quite sure. I like the parts on the internet, but it'll tell you where it's at. But anyway, thank you very much. Thank you for waiting. And Don, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Oh, good. Are you guys familiar with the OEM Highlander steering noise?
No. Can't say that I am.
Is it hydraulic or electric?
It's hydraulic. But it's like a little shaft that goes from the, I guess, the what? Oh, man. My daughter's got a noise in her steering.
Okay.
And I guess there's some kind of a shaft that goes from the bottom of the column down to the rack.
Okay.
Oh, shaft assembly steering immediate.
Intermediate shaft.
Yeah.
Okay. Does she have
ever changed one of them?
Well, wait a minute. Let's back up the train.
Okay.
Does the symptoms match what you have in your hand?
Well, she says she's got a noise.
No. We have to match. You've got a technical service bulletin in front of you or something like that or some page off the internet.
Yeah, it's from all data. She pulls it up on the computer.
So we have to determine. The easiest way on the intermediate shaft is to open up the hood and make the noise happen. Reach down and grab the intermediate shaft, and you can feel if there's a problem there. But it's a bad idea to go in with your own diagnosis. It's nothing wrong with going to a repair shop. Keep that piece of paper in your hand and say, honey, demonstrate the problem. Now, Monday mornings and Friday afternoons are out of the question. But if you have a shop and you go stop by on Thursday at 9 o'clock, they'll probably send a tech out into the parking lot and take a look at it real quick because that can't be too hard to find. But it could also be a lot of other things. So it's quite a jump to jump to a all data, you know, intermediate shaft when it could be so many other things. Mm-hmm. So the intermediate shaft, you have a picture of it right there.
Yeah.
Okay, just go put your head on it and see if the noise is there. Have her turn the steering wheel left and right. She says the noise is there, and then just put your fingers on the shaft. I would make sure that she loves you. I would make sure that she loves you and that she has the parking brake on because she could slam the hood and take off with you in the car.
Well, she'd love to do that.
Okay. So,
and are they really going to let you come down to Chandler tonight, Mark?
You know,
drive on their street.
You know, I do have permission from the chief of police to come down there. I think the chief of police is a former Scottsdale policeman or a commander, and so we share that relationship. But they're going to let me in, and my probation officer is allowing me to leave the zip code. So yeah,
that's
I'm good.
Good.
All righty.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you.
All righty. Take care, Don. And, Gil, do we have anybody else?
Lines are open.
Well, you still got a few minutes to get in, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Somebody mentioned Larry Harker's Auto, and I want to finish up with that. Bob and Ellen have run Larry Harker's Auto for decades. Bob is one of the best diagnosticians I've ever met. He, as a matter of fact, I would dare to say that he is better than I am in certain cars. But he has the tenacity to chase down your problems. So if you live anywhere near 38th Avenue and Indian School, you've heard me say before, it's worth the drive. If you've got a car that nobody else can fix, if you've got a car that you've spent days on the internet trying to fix your car, then you might want to stop by and have Bob take a look at it. Now, he's not going to be able to diagnose it in the parking lot. We don't do that. But he can give you an idea of what it's going to cost to track it down. You didn't see this the other day. Oh, by the way, folks, if you want to follow me on Facebook, Mark Salem on Facebook, and we don't do personal stuff, and I don't, every once in a while I do something I think is funny, but it's pretty much cars, okay? My wife and daughter get really mad at me when I stray off of point. I'm going to get that caller in just a second. But on Facebook, they had this really nifty thing that's a box with 9 cubes. And each one of the 9 cubes, big 4-inch cubes, they're foam rubber.
Okay.
And each side of each cube, obviously there's four. So 4 times 3, 6, 9. 4 times 9, there's 45 different sides. So you take this box, you throw the cubes on the ground, and it has a different diagnosis on every one. And it's called the permanent diagnosis for the person that goes to YouTube to try to fix his car.
Right.
So you just roll the dice, and it says, replace the alternator, and that's what you do. And if that doesn't fix it, you roll the dice again, and you replace your wife. And
that sounds that fun. Doesn't fa- no, so, not the wife part. Yeah. Well, just guessing with other people's money?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. From our point of view,
right.
we're guessing with their money, right. Not we're guessing.
Right.
But that's just a bad idea.
No, I was thinking about using it here.
I ordered a set.
You ordered one?
Yeah, I ordered a set. I think it's funny for the lobby.
Oh, that would
anyway,
be funny.
We got a caller. Who's that?
That would be Ken.
Ken, good morning. How can we help you?
Good. Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I've got a 2013 Hyundai Sonata Hybrid. And it does this really high-pitched whine when you first start up and back out of the garage and turn. I've taken it into Hyundai one time, and they just said they have no idea what it is. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's back up. I heard you say cold, right?
Right.
And not
right.
Through the rest of the day, the problem
even
is gone.
Even when it's 110 degrees out, I guess it's still cold. Right.
Right. The car's cold. And it only occurs when you turn the steering wheel left and right, or yes or
well,
no?
Well, you know, even when you back up. So, like, yeah, so even a straight backup okay. out of the garage.
And it's a, so it's a, describe the noise just one more time.
It's a real high-pitched
squeal.
Kind of whine sound, squeal.
Okay.
Yeah,
most, yeah. All right. How many miles are on the Hyundai?
Well, I've had it since 18,000 miles. It's got 93 now.
Okay. When was the last time you had brakes on it?
I had the brakes checked, actually, recently. But,
okay.
I've never had new brakes, actually.
Okay. All right, this one I want you to do. Next time you know what's going to happen, I want you to start yeah. it up, and I want you to put it in reverse and back out of your driveway, and halfway out the driveway you hear the squeal. Then I want you to gently apply the brakes, gently, and uh-huh. and continue on your drive. And if the squeal goes away, then you probably got a squeaker in one of the brakes that's hitting the rotor.
Okay, yeah, I've had that before. It's not that sound. It's okay. actually coming from the engine. Okay.
It sounds like a belt.
All right. If it's a belt, okay. then take the garden hose. If you know what's going to happen, take the garden hose, open up the hood of the car, spray the belt down with some water, get back in it and back it out. If it goes away, then he's right, it's the belt. I mean, these are the diagnostic processes that have to go on.
Okay.
I think between the brakes and the belt... oh, and you know something else. How about if he's backing up and he turns the steering wheel left and right, and if he gets the squeal, yeah. then we know it's a belt.
Yeah.
And if he turns the air on, here, you got to be moving in order for this to happen, but you can turn the air on and off. You can apply the brakes gently or not. You can also turn the steering real hard to test the steering system. So you're going to do different things to change the noise. And once you change the noise, you've just saved yourself a lot of diagnostic money because you can describe exactly what to do to hear the noise the next time you take it into the shop.
And the other thing right. you want to plan on doing is leave it overnight because yeah, we go through yeah. this all the time. You know, people will drop it off and it'll be warm. And by the time you know, it's warm outside and the car is warm and we drive it, we move it around and do all this kind of stuff. We really need it first thing in the morning.
Well, and then too, there's some shops that are so big they can't park cars inside. The smaller shops, like we have 20 bays, but if that came in, we'd park it inside or outside,
yeah.
and it'd have a big sign on the front yeah. of it that says, don't start this up, right. and the technician who gets the paperwork is going to go out there and be the first one.
Right, exactly.
And that's kind of what you want, but, you know, you roll the dice no matter if it's a chain, an independent, or a dealer. You roll the dice on how they're going to handle their end. So what right. part of town do you have a garage you like?
Well, I use Mitch's at Tatum and Bell.
Okay.
But I don't know if you know those guys.
No,
I don't, but I'll tell you what.
If I've never heard of them, that's a good thing. Because I am the pincushion for people who hate auto repair shops and think they got screwed. So I know the guys that I hear a lot, but I've not heard of them, and I think that's a good thing. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Good luck
Sounds
to you.
Good.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you. All right. Is there anything else you want to talk about that we can get into trouble today? Let's cover the parade again. It's Chandler, what's it called, Festival of Lights?
Yep, Chandler Festival of Lights Parade.
Okay, and it starts about a half mile or so south of Chandler Boulevard on Arizona Avenue.
It starts at Fry.
Fry, that's what I said. It's probably three quarters of a mile. Oh, okay. Well, just cut me off at the knees.
Yeah. But it's closed from Fry. It's changed. Go to the website because it's changed from last year. The route has changed. The parking has changed. A lot of things have changed.
Okay.
But, yeah, it runs from, I think it starts about 6:45.
Okay. And so that's where we're going to be in the big truck in the float.
Yep.
And you're going to be in the back seat with a paper bag over your face.
I am.
Yeah, with two eyes cut out of it and stuff. Now, you're going to be the job that runs the float. So if the float comes off, then you're going to tell me.
I'm going to run away.
No, you're going to stay in the truck because you're the one that put the hitch on it.
Yep, that's right.
And we had to buy a hitch to haul this trailer. How much of the drop is the hitch?
12-inch.
12-inch drop. So that's the bumper's kind of high on this truck. Let me describe it to you. It's a 10-wheel one-ton. A 10-wheel one-ton, and it has two big chrome stacks. What's the size of those stacks?
Eight inches.
Two chrome stacks that come out of the corners of the bed. And unlike a lot of trucks, these are actually functional. These actually are it. It's got the Salem air horns on it.
Yep.
And it's got 22.5 tires and wheels off of a semi-truck.
Yep.
And so it looks like a miniature semi. So anyway, if you have, and second of all, if you have something to do with veterans and you need something like that, we do that for free. And the truck is wrapped like the American flag. So on the driver's door, it has a big eagle. And then there's a waving red, white, and blue flag on it and all kinds of fancy stuff.
If you're looking
stuff.
For it, you can't miss it.
Yeah.
And you won't miss it.
Here's the best part about it. Anybody who drives that truck has to drive it like the policemen are in the seat with them. Because if you're ornery and you get in trouble and someone calls the police and that person says, look for the guy in the flag truck, it isn't going to be hard to find that truck. So it's really something that Alan built a while back, and we've had it wrapped, and it's pretty special. But especially veterans, if they have functions that they want the truck at. Nobody else can drive the truck. We're certainly happy to take people for a ride. And we did the Payson Rodeo this last year where we brought the girls in to the rodeo arena. And so we use that truck to do that. So and of course, we're happy to share the truck with you. So if you're a veteran, that's the way it is. If you have a car question, mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com. If you want to go to our website, it's marksalem.com. Until then, make sure you ask them for your old parts back. Make sure you pay with a credit card. And make sure you only give them the symptoms. We'll see you next Saturday, 10 to noon, right here.